B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on Thursday. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. So Tim McManus will join us a little bit later, and we'll get his views on this upcoming NFL draft and the way they're going to do it. There seems to be some fear that it's not going to come off quite the way they expect, but that's extra incentive to watch it, actually, to see if it's going to come off.
Yes. Yeah? I want it to have problems.
You want it to have problems?
Yes, I want it to have massive problems.
Why? Just to prove that they were wrong?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they should have done it at that time for a number of reasons. But, yeah, I want it to have problems.
Well,
I do. I mean, I want all the players to get picked. I want everybody to get paid. But I'm saying I want
really
the draft to have problems.
The other has problems or not. I think it would be entertaining if it had problems. So, well, we'll wait and see what happens there.
I want Roger Goodell. Does he have kids, grandkids? I want people interrupting him when he's trying to make a pick. With the 21st pick, the Eagles take. Get out. Come over. I want the dog barking or something. I want problems. I want problems. That will make it entertaining for me.
Well, and what also would be even funnier is how they're claiming that how they don't have the tech savviness to run the equipment that they need. It'll be funnier just to see them try and fumble with.
What's that language they're asking people if they know the computer language? Do I have the stories messed
what,
up?
What, code?
No, you have it. Yeah, it's in your stack.
What is that old computer language that they're asking people to?
HTML?
Not the NFL.
COBOL.
It's
COBOL.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, COBOL. They're asking, who's asking for any employees who know that system?
I believe the governor of New Jersey was looking for people who know how to run
it. Because their system is, antiquated?
Oh, I don't know if it's antiquated or not.
Why would they need COBOL?
I think they need more. I don't know if it's old or not. I thought it was that they needed more people to do it because there's more.
It looks like one of the first computer languages ever, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, COBOL. Well, I'm not mistaken.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, 60 years old.
Yeah, there you go. People, you know COBOL? That was the entry into the knowing how to work computers.
Right. Well, they need it
It's easy for us now, but there was a language, codes that people had to know. You actually had to go to school to learn the computer language.
Still with certain codes, they need it.
Oh, they need it? Wait, so they need it for to process unemployment claims.
Yeah, it's an archaic system.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
That's a whole nother thing.
All right, 610-622-0975. I'm going to do something now, Ty. And I'm just laying down my soul.
All right.
What was on last night?
What was that?
The Eagles beating the New England Patriots.
Oh,
in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
okay.
And so I am opening this hour, 1 hour special, to the Folesian Society.
Stop.
Yes, I am.
Stop it.
Listen, I'm doing my service for the people.
Oh, my God.
And the people, you may judge. I'm not judging. I'm not judging. If you want to relive that Super Bowl and relive the brilliance of Nick Foles back then, you got 1 hour.
How's everyone doing?
To brag on Nicky. I think it would be therapeutic for some people.
It'd be good. It'd be like a vacation hour for me.
Well, it's also nice to watch.
Last night, I was watching some Twitter reaction to it. It was on last night. It rekindled the joy that we felt in the city, and the Eagles will finally win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Nick was the big guy. Nick was so good in that game, Natalie, he even swayed you.
He did. He did, based on deliverables, I'll say, to those days.
Exactly, deliverables.
he delivered. He also delivered that interception the following year when Earth was wide open to put him up 21-0.
I didn't say it then.
That's a deliverable.
We don't have to get into that. The moment was last night, and Nicky was brilliant.
Well, my Super Bowl.
He was brilliant.
Hey, you know what? I wish we had thought about this before. My Super Bowl hero was on the show yesterday afternoon at 4:30, Brandon Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Of the strip sack, the biggest play of my life. Brandon Graham did that play, and then Barnett recovered it.
Yeah, he did.
The biggest play in my life was caused by Brandon Graham. And I will love Brandon Graham till the day I die.
You can't deplete the
You want Philly, Philly?
The efforts of Nick Foles.
What do you mean? I didn't deplete it. I said the biggest play. I've said that then. The biggest play in my life is the strip sack.
The one big play, but the quarterback made the most of the plays.
Okay.
All right. So let me just get it to see if people, if I've tweaked anybody's memory. Because when I watched this Ira Einhorn thing, I thought of two other strange, murderous situations in Philadelphia. And, of course, the Ira Einhorn story is, like, he was a University of Penn graduate who became some hippie guru. Now, I don't know, like, what the steps are for one to become a hippie guru, but he did it. Whatever it was, he would preach as a hippie guru, and he had a lot of followers on his philosophies of life.
All right.
And so he was a high-profile guy, and he met this woman named Holly Maddox, who was this beautiful blonde woman, and it was his girlfriend. And they had a breakup, and she came back to the home where they shared to get her stuff and was never seen for the next 17 years.
Whew. That's tough.
And so they always suspected that it was him, but they couldn't get him. And the lead detective on the case was a guy named Mike Chitwood, who just retired, but he was the police chief in Upper Darby. That's where he came after his career in Philadelphia. He's a detective. He went and lived and became a suburban police chief.
Okay.
And then he wound up finding the body of this Holly Maddox in a trunk in a closet at Ira Einhorn's house.
He had her in a trunk all that time?
Had her in a trunk for that whole time.
Because I remember hearing about him. I never heard that specific.
Yes.
Wow, what, did he spray her down with something?
I don't.
How do you keep that smell?
I don't know. I don't know what to. Right. You can look back at the case.
Yeah.
But anyway, he gets arraigned on the murder. His attorney is Arlen Specter. His
what?
Defense attorney is Arlen Specter.
The single bullet theory?
That is correct.
Okay.
Former Philadelphia DA.
Yeah.
All right, so he's representing them. Somehow, the judge grants Ira Einhorn bail. He gets out and is gone.
Yeah.
So he gets to Ireland first, and he traverses Europe until he finds this little hamlet town in France, where he lives with another woman, some Swedish woman, Annika Floden, or whatever her name was. And they couldn't get him because there was no extradition policy. And because he would have faced the death penalty here, France refused to extradite him on moral grounds.
Yeah, he was tried in absentia, right? Or whatever
it was
called.
Yeah, he was convicted in 96 in absentia.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to get him, and at the point that it was the death penalty, and France objected, and they couldn't get him.
Wow.
And somehow the legal system worked for years and years and years where they finally got him to be extradited, and he slit his throat in an attempt to avoid the extradition.
Oh, man.
But it was like flesh wounds. They just wrapped him up, and they finally got him over here, and then he got life in prison because the death penalty had been
taken off
the table.
Yeah.
And so he just died in prison last week.
You know, that's...
It was a notorious... It was in the papers all the time. They were chasing Ira Einhorn. It became a national story. Where is Ira Einhorn? He was the unicorn killer because Einhorn means unicorn.
Wow. That's serious
and
business.
And then I started to think. I go, I remember that in the 80s, the chase, and they finally convicted him in the 90s. But then there were two other murders. I don't know. They might have leaked into the 90s. But there were two notorious murders in the late 80s, back-to-back, like serial-type killer murders. You remember what they were?
I remember one that was famous locally. What was the one with the lawyer? And the woman, what was her name? Wasn't that in Jersey?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on, let me look it up.
Yeah, I'm talking about these.
Oh, you're talking about like a serial killer.
These were darker. These were darker, spooky type of situations fostered by demented people.
Well,
I'm sorry, somebody will know it.
All right.
And then we'll talk about it because it scared the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Was it the one, the guy who had the women in his basement?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that guy. I don't remember his name. The other guy I'm thinking of is Tom Capano.
Oh, yeah, that was the Delaware. Yeah,
that was the Delaware thing, right?
Yeah, with the,
I remember that growing up, too.
Yeah, but these were darker, creepy.
Oh, what was the...
These were creepy.
What was his name? I think I'm blocking out
the people.
There were both murders involved sellers.
Yeah, they did.
That one's I'm thinking of.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't remember their names.
All right, let's go to Walter in East Windsor. Walter, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Walter.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Walter?
Love all you guys. Just called a comment on that Tom Brady thing. Just bear with me. I'm in my work truck, so.
Okay.
I'm out here still working. I agree with you, Nat. Ty, I love you. But I'm pretty sure you said you don't respect any man that would have stayed home.
I don't respect any man that would not go to their main job because his wife said so. Yeah, no, I don't. You have to go to work.
All right, never mind. I guess because you said main. So right. My wife, when we met, my wife met me because I'm a sneaker customizer. So she ordered a pair for me. That's how we got together, everything like that, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting profession you have there.
Well, it's not my main. I work for a cable company right now.
Okay. That's cool. So you get certain sneakers and you customize them? Like by order or because you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't keep inventory. I can't do that.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, I'll tag Ty in a pair or something like that, let you guys see. But I have been doing that for a long time and made a lot of money, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
As our relationship grew, she started to ask me to slow down. Now obviously we met only off of my sneaker job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that it was taking up all of my time. And there was no time to really give to her. And then obviously we had kids and it took up that time and everything like that. So I ended up pretty much shutting it down,
mm-hmm.
shutting that business down. It's not my main job. So okay. I guess that's the.
Yeah, I think Ty is saying if your wife said you don't go to work because you're neglecting me at home. I think that's what Ty is thinking. Part of your job is to go to OTAs, right? If you're a football player.
Yes.
All right. So what?
Yeah, I get that.
So what do you think about that circumstance?
That circumstance, let's say this. I had to work during Sandy during this, and my wife had just moved over here with mm-hmm. with her.
Yeah.
She was from California.
Yeah.
So she just came over and was trying to stop me from going to work, and that didn't happen.
She was.
Why,
why was she stopping from going to work during a catastrophe?
Because she had never, mind you, she's from L.A., so she don't know anything about hurricanes.
Well, she knows about
like that.
She doesn't understand a hurricane.
Nah, nope. She's still,
she understands earthquakes. She's from California. Was there ever an earthquake that happened?
Absolutely, but she would stop. So her dad's an L.A.P. detective. She would try to stop her dad from going to work. Like, just
are you still married to this woman?
Absolutely, man. That's the love of my life, man.
Well, good luck to you, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a catastrophe. The man, his job is to help out. And,
right.
Come on.
Like, because there's people mad at me on social media saying I'm a caveman. And call me a caveman if you want. I don't think that's true. But I want to make it clear.
Yeah.
It's his main job. Now, people are saying, oh, he had his Tom Brady enterprise. Tell him to give that up. Don't tell him to give up the thing that made Tom Brady's not famous because of Tom Brady Enterprise.
In general, I agree with you. When it comes to Tom Brady, I don't. Because I'm logical and I know what the circumstances are. Like any other player, you would be right. Guy like Tom Brady, in conjunction with being married to a Brazilian supermodel, it's impossible for you to be right.
No, but here's the problem. This is why I am, though. We're talking about now with this lately with the new CBA and everything the last several years. You're talking about him being missing about 8 days for these mini camps. It's not a lot of days anymore.
Yeah.
I do not believe Giselle can say what she wants. I do not believe those 8 days are make or break in his marriage. There might be other things he's not doing because of other stuff Tom Brady wants to do.
So you think he should have bucked that?
Yes.
And said, all right, if my marriage is going to suffer, it's going to have to suffer.
For these 8 days of off-season training? No way. Now, I guarantee Tom Brady might have been doing some other Tom Brady stuff with his other businesses. That's different.
I tend to agree with Ty here because I think, like I said earlier, there was some other compromise that he could have made.
Because don't tell me I'm giving up football. I'm a football player.
In general, you guys are both right, but this is not in general. Right? These are extraordinary circumstances that probably are unique to just one person.
They really are one person
and the whole earth.
But and then people don't say, like, so right now, Nats dog, yeah. And then a quick cameo. But right now, we just had our second year anniversary on this show. I guess six was outside of that, two seasons that got stopped, right?
Yes.
The odds of me thinking I would ever be on TV was 0.1%.
Right, you tweeted that last night.
Right, I don't believe that was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
My wife, and I do not hold up my own end enough at home. Uh-huh. I do not. Because of all the work. Like, right now, I'm home. It's different. But normally,
what end don't you hold up?
I'm saying I'm not making any meals. I'm not doing a lot of cleaning and stuff. Because there's times where I leave before 11, and I'm not home till like 1 in the morning.
Okay.
I got to do show prep. That's just the fact that I'm not doing enough at home. That's a fact.
Yeah, but if you were at home, you would.
I would if. Yeah. Right, but I'm not. I'm sure Tom Brady would if he wasn't at Medicaid.
Tom Brady ain't going to do anything.
But my point is...
It's just his presence that she wants, not anything that he can do. What the hell's he going to do? You're going to go out and make a shed?
But she claims that he's doing other side businesses and stuff. And that's fair criticism, but my issue is to tell him not to do the main job. Come on. Like, there's times where Coach might ask me to do a weekend shift, and my wife might say, you've worked the last 20 weekends, take a day off.
You make perfect sense.
But your main job?
The case is, it's a different case.
All right.
All right, let's go Will in Philly. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Nat, Tyrone, Mikey Miss, thank you guys. I'm sitting here watching you with my wife and on lockdown here. I really appreciate you giving us some entertainment today.
Well, thank you. How's it going with the wife?
It's good, man. She's sitting here right next to me
That's awesome. You and the wife watching the Mike Miss show? Beautiful.
Yeah, she's right here. She's painting in a beautiful bluebird.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But on that point, Ty, I got to disagree with you on this one about Giselle and Tom Brady because, look, it's OTAs. There's a lot of other players that skip OTAs. And if you're just saying, like, oh, Giselle's telling him not to do it, who cares? Like, players miss OTAs all the time.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Well, I got to get off the train with you here because players shouldn't miss OTAs. There are only a handful of people. And in fact, I one hand who had the clout to miss an OTA. Brady would be one of them.
Sure.
Not everybody. So, like, you made a blanket statement. OTAs are important for every great player. Brady's just happened to be the best that ever lived. So he's got a separate category.
Yeah, but they're optional, right?
That's the first. No, but they're not optional. You know they're not optional. Come on, Will. They're not optional. That's BS. That's a player excuse. Well, they're optional.
Fletcher Cox missed OTAs, and we didn't really...
I ripped the crap out of him for that. I thought it was way out of line that he missed an OTA. Seriously, it's their job. Part of their job doing it well is the OTA.
That's true. You're right. But I'm saying this isn't the first time that someone's missed an OTA. We're going to go nuts about it.
It's just a confluence of circumstances.
Happy wife, happy life.
Well, she's not happy. How could she not be happy with that life they lead? But where she can't suck it up for 5 days of an OTA.
All I'm saying is my queen, she does. I say, yo, baby, you don't want me to go to work in this crisis? Fine. That's fine with me. I'm not going.
Well, all right. You're not Tom Brady, though, Will.
No. It's the same thing with the coronavirus and the baseball players. If you're asking about Bryce Harper and the $300 million, it's totally different for a guy that makes that much money. The other guys that make less money, I would absolutely suit up and go. I mean, you know, that's your job at that point. But for a guy that makes that much money, it's a completely different circumstance. But would I hate Bryce Harper or Aaron Nola if they said, hey, I'm sitting this one out? Absolutely not. even a guy like Mike Trout that's single and making $400 million. Nah, I can't hate against that guy either.
This he's not. Mike Trout's married, isn't he? He married. Did he marry his high school sweetheart? Yeah, he married a Millville girl, didn't he?
Yeah. Does he have any children yet?
I don't know. He's a very secretive guy for reasons that are really kind of strange.
I think he enjoys it.
He enjoys being secretive?
Mm-hmm. Cause
out of the limelight, he's the best player in the game. You have a responsibility.
Yes. Well, I mean, he stays out of trouble.
Yeah, but he's never heard from. It's like
some of that's baseball's fault, too.
He's got to be marketed.
Yeah.
He's got to know about. Like, he's got to participate.
Let Harper win an MVP in 2021. Like, he'll be marketed.
Like Trout, win a home run contest. That'll help your marketing, wouldn't it?
He's won it before.
Show to people that
he's won it before.
I don't think he has.
I'm pretty sure he won it.
He never participates in them.
I thought he did. I thought he won it one year.
But he doesn't do it anymore. See, that's a way you can show some fun and, have somebody bring you a Gatorade and, show a personality. That would help him, I think.
It would help him more money.
All right, Barbara in Berks County, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Barbara.
Yes. The other night, I watched Action News.
Yes.
Okay? And I was seeing this and out in your park somewhere, okay? I can't remember. If you saw Action News, you saw a lot of people all together. There were two soccer games, and
it's ridiculous what you're saying. If that's your point, it's very irresponsible for people to be doing that.
Yeah, and my question, I'm not being mean or anything, and I know how you are, okay? Trust me, we watch you, okay? My question to you is, you have over 4,400 people that are sick.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know we all want to get out of this, okay? Is there, without you freaking out and without Tyrone freaking out, can you, show in a way that is nice, but you have people there, okay? You have people there that listen to you.
Yeah.
Talk to them about the face mask and that.
We've been consistent every day, Barbara. We've been telling
I know, but sometimes.
I put the mask on yesterday, part of the show.
Good. I'm glad you did, but.
Yeah, why would I freak out if you tell me that? You're telling me that this is a responsible thing to do. We've been doing that. Oh, it's terrible.
I know you guys are, okay? I know you guys are, okay?
Yeah.
Because you got families and you got a daughter and stuff like that, okay? Trust me, I know you guys because I watch you guys, okay?
Okay.
My question to you, I was just, as my friend says, it's not you and stuff like that, but it's the 4,400 people.
Yeah,
and I don't like
you. Barbara, I get it. I understand your point totally. It is irresponsible for people to be out there. And we talked about it yesterday. Basketball pickup games, parks gravitating to, hikes, all that kind of stuff. Soccer game, whatever. These people are not understanding what their responsibilities are right now. So we've been very consistent in telling people to stay away from that kind of stuff. Stay inside. I know it's difficult for everybody, but you're not helping the situation.
You're absolutely right. And supermarkets, you've been talking about the supermarkets regularly. Two local chains, Acme and Aldi, both put in new restrictions from corporate office, 50 at the most at a time. I think ShopRite already has it. Mm-hmm. So that's starting to trickle
down.
And I know
Home Depot has been doing that.
Yeah, Home Depot absolutely has. There's been people outside 6 feet apart waiting in line.
Yes.
One in, one out.
Exactly.
One in, one out.
That's what they're doing. So that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we can't stress that enough. In fact, I was thinking, I'm cleaning the other day, and I unearthed my outdoor basketball. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had the urge to go to the park. Now, I would never. I'm going to ask you this question because I start going through the parameters. Would it be irresponsible of me to drive past, because there's some great basketball courts in Narberth? Would it be irresponsible for me to drive past that, see that there's nobody there, and get out and play basketball? And I thought it would be, because then somebody would see me and want to do the same thing.
Right. And you can't play basketball 6 feet apart. No. And you'd be using the same ball.
So
and
not
all that
even
stuff.
By yourself is it responsible to go out and do stuff like that, right?
Not unless you have your own court. Like if you in your backyard you had a court,
yeah.
Go shoot as much as you want in your
right.
yard.
So the way, and there have been reports of a lot of basketball pickup games going on in parks in the city. And how they're alleviating that is they're taking the rims off.
They have to.
So you can't close. People are ripping down gates to get into a lock. So that's not even working. When you take the rim off.
In my town, they put a 2x4 across the top of the rim on both rims. And somehow it's bolted in.
Oh, really?
So you can't use it. And the parks are closed in my town. You're not supposed, in Bordentown, all the parks are closed. You're not supposed to go.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:32. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 600 votes on this one. Do you think Tom Brady should have gone to OTAs regardless of what Giselle said? 48% say yes, 52% say no. So people are torn.
52% say no, Tyrone. Yeah. Tyrone's calling that 52% if they're males soft.
Or stupid. Because some of them responded to me going, no, they're just, he's just, how dare you call her selfish? All she's saying is be a better father. No, she's not. Because it's 8 days. Do not, in a 365-year day, do not tell me that all of a sudden he becomes a bad father because he goes to OTAs. If you believe that, you're not soft, you're stupid. There's no way that doesn't make sense.
Well, and
what he's doing the other 300 and some days, that might be the issue. Don't tell me the 8 days of OTAs are the difference between him being a good and bad father. Or that's just not the case.
You know what's funny? It's maybe that's where he thought, you know what? This is what I can get out of.
Probably.
Yeah, he was the one. He was like, yeah, I got to give up something.
Maybe, and blamed her.
Maybe yeah. He's throwing her under the bus.
Yeah, he kind of was.
He's throwing her under the bus.
Well,
it'd be hell to pay.
He claims it's in a letter, and fine. And these people say, oh, without kid, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. My father was always there for us, right? He worked overtime like 48 out of 52 weeks a year. Does that mean he's a bad father because he's going to work? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And there were absolutely times where my mom had to be around because my dad had to work. This is his job. Those 8 days,
your mom was not a hot-tempered Brazilian model.
Right. And I'm saying that it's clearly selfish that she tried to make an ultimatum on 8 days in a year where he had to go to work. No reasonable person would do that. And to think it's reasonable means you're soft off the table. You're just stupid if you believe that. Stupid.
Tienes una hermosa mujer sentada aquí y te vas a football.
That's what
does that mean?
Our Latino people out there know exactly what I'm saying.
Well, what does it mean?
It means you have a beautiful woman sitting here and you leave for football?
Sorry, honey. She trapped. First of all, paparazzi catches her in the south of France on the beach. They catch her all over the world. In February, she was out without Tom somewhere. I didn't see Tom saying, you know, honey, I need you to be a better mom by not taking a weekend. My couples cut it out.
All right, I'm thinking the notorious murders that happened. Here they are.
Yeah, Booney was chiming in.
We just did the Ira Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
The next move, scary as hell. Gary Heidnick.
Oh my God, that's his name.
That's who Gary Booney was talking about.
The House of Horrors killer.
Oh man.
And this guy was like really ultra intelligent.
Yeah.
He was an army veteran and he created this church to dodge taxes. So he was very eccentric, but he would blast heavy metal music inside his home at all hours. And some people start complaining about a strong odor coming from his house. So what police found in 1987, body parts in the kitchen and a basement turned torture chamber where three half-naked women were found imprisoned.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He abducted six women in 1986 He held them in his basement. Two of them died. He kept their bodies in the refrigerator or whatever. Oh, no, no, this is what he did. He fed his dog food mixed with human remains.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody escaped. One of the prisoners escaped and alerted police. And that's how they got him.
Where was that house at?
Tioga.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, on the heels of that, like, almost the same time, a guy named Harrison Marty Graham in 87 kind of did the same thing. The bodies of seven women were found beneath piles of trash and mattresses in North Philadelphia apartment. But he was mentally ill, that guy.
Yeah.
Harrison Marty Graham, well, they were both mentally ill, frankly.
Yeah, if you're doing
one,
that.
One had this ultra-high IQ, and the other was mentally challenged.
Yeah, that's
right in a row. Think about that. Like, what would we do now if that happened? We can't imagine that happening now.
And it's a lot tougher to do now.
Yeah.
Because, like, they say cell phones are a whole game changer for finding people and stuff like that, or finding when someone goes missing. And so now when this stuff happens, it has to be people that basically no one would look for. While back then, these guys would do that to people who were like had regular jobs, and all of a sudden they didn't show up to work. Well, now if somebody doesn't show up to work, they call the cops, they go with the cell phone tower, they know this person was at this place. It's so much harder to pull that kind of stuff in the modern era. But if somebody pulled it off now and actually was able to do it, it'd be the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah. Now me back then, I was kind of, I had a little jackass in me, so I was living with a woman at the time.
Oh God.
And when he came into the apartment, it was an upstairs apartment. When he came in, at the door level was a door that led to the basement where I had like workout stuff. And so I remember the back cover of the Daily News after this happened. It's like it had Cellar of Doom. This really dark picture with a blaring tabloid headline, Cellar of Doom. And I cut off the back cover and I taped it to the door. That when she came in the house, that was the first thing she would see, because she used to like to go down there and work out. That's kind of a jackass move, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, why
How
would you
romantic,
do that?
Mike.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Such a charmer you are.
See, now that's something I would never... I don't play with stuff like that. That, to me, is not a game.
You've already been caught.
Yeah, but so what? That's not a game. You don't know if he posted bail or escaped. You don't play those games. That's very dangerous.
All right. You're right.
Come on, man.
You're right. It was a long time ago, man. All
right. Young Mikey missing his pranks.
Goodness.
I'm the prank.
It's not that it's not funny. It's just, whoa.
It is.
What you doing,
You're right. I told you it was a jackass move. I'm diming myself out.
That's a good
one. All right. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It's 3:44. I am working on my Phillies utility player list here. I got a pretty good start. Most of them are Latino, but there are a couple of Caucasians involved.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Well, Phillies had not such a great history with African-American players for many years.
Correct.
So you're not going to find that many that weren't stars.
Right.
Now the stars are gone. Not in many in between.
Yes, correct. Now, they did have a couple really good African-American infielders in their day.
Yeah, there was
some. If you go around the horn, you go African-American infield. Charlie Hayes, you go.
Yeah.
Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah. Now, note that that's two guys that won World Series. Charlie Hayes catches the final out in 96 with the Yankees.
Right. You can go Marlon Anderson at second.
Yeah, he was a big prospect, didn't really fully work out.
Yeah, there's another second base. Dave Cash way back in the day.
All right. Yeah, but I'm saying the utility guys, nah.
Yeah. Is there ever an African-American catcher?
On the Phillies? Not in my lifetime. That played regularly.
Yeah. So the all African-American infield would be Charlie Hayes, Jimmy Rollins. Dave Cash was a better player than Marlon Anderson. And Ryan Howard. Not bad.
That's pretty good. Well, you got Hall of Fame prime in Howard. Uh-huh. Hall of Fame numbers in Rollins. Yeah.
All right, so here's who I have as the all-purpose utility infielder. Let's go here with, let's start with Tomas Perez.
Yes.
Wilson Valdez.
Yeah.
Juan Castro.
Good one.
Huh?
Yeah.
Andres Blanco. Andres Blanco, couple years, played several years with the Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just him. These guys kind of, I forget, they're here and then they're gone.
Miguel Cairo.
Yes.
Alex Arias.
Yes.
Yeah, this was fairly recently. Jesmuel Valentin.
Yes.
Played all over for him. And then we go with, we go way back in the day. Ramon Aviles.
I don't know.
That's before your time. That was 80.
All right.
And Luis Aguayo.
And where did he play?
That was the same era.
Same era he played.
Yeah. They were all, shortstop, second base, utility. And now I got two white dudes.
All right.
How could we forget the great Pete Orr? Pete Orr.
Yes. That's
and then finally, this guy, they had him, and then he went to the Twins and actually turned into an okay player. Nick Punto.
Yes. He ended up playing in playoff series stuff, starting for them.
Correct.
Yeah. And he had,
Punto.
Yeah. And all of those guys you named in the modern era, I was told that on another team, they'd play every
they'd
game.
Be starters.
Yeah. Just here. Uh-huh. Because they have so much depth.
Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere else.
Let's go to Todd on the cell. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Hey, crew, what are you guys doing?
What's up, Todd? How you doing?
Doing a sports show, right, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, buddy. I was thinking this morning, I don't know why, baseball was on my mind. So, home run leaders, American League, National League, right?
Yeah.
Easy, naturally. You know who they are. It's easy, right?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing what you're saying here.
The home run leaders, the leaders, 1, 2, 3.
Home run leaders all time?
Yes, all time. Home run leaders, baseball.
Yeah, that would be Barry Bonds.
Okay, that's one.
And that would be Hank Aaron.
Two.
And maybe Ruth third, isn't he?
Who?
Babe Ruth third?
He's American League.
In the NL?
NL. Mays.
Willie Mays. Okay.
All
right.
All right. American League.
Babe Ruth.
Yes.
I'm not good at this.
Okay,
go ahead. Who are the American?
Babe Ruth. Alex Rodriguez.
Forgot about Alex Rodriguez.
Albert Pujols.
There you go. Okay. That's pretty good. That's awesome.
I'm curious to know who the top 10 are, and I don't have a computer. Top 10 in the American League, top 10 in the National League.
Top 10 home runs?
Yes, sir.
Well, I could find that.
Okay.
I mean, I have to just look at
it. Take care.
Is that it?
Yeah, man. Just if you can get them, that'd be great. I'm a baseball guy, Mike.
All right, Todd.
Here's the problem with that.
Uh-huh.
A-Rod, whole career, AL. So is Bonds. So is Mays, etc.
Yeah.
Pujols had a good chunk of those in the NL.
Cardinals, yeah.
And went, so that list would be...
Yeah, it's skewed.
And then what about if there was any big home run hitters from Houston... They were NL, now they're AL. Like, how's it?
All right, same with Griffey. Where would you go, Griffey?
That's the thing.
AL? Is he AL?
He hit more in the AL, but he played but he hit a chunk in the NL to get to his 600.
Yeah.
You can't.
You got Tommy AL, right?
Yeah, how many did he have? He had over 100 of them with the Phillies. So then it's tough. You know what I mean? Like when you switch lanes,
you
got to
go primarily.
You go primarily. Yeah. I still think Pujols counts as NL then.
Is this Booney throw that name in? Is that you?
That was Booney with the
Booney, Eric Brundlett.
Big run in the World Series.
He's on the Caucasian list.
Yes,
EB.
And they raved about Brundlett, even though he got the playing with the best protection and the best lineup. They used to rave about Brundlett. Remember? Oh, this Brundlett. Rave about Brundlett on that good team.
He couldn't hit a loud foul, that dude. a horrible offensive player.
Booty has another suggestion.
What's that?
Randy Reddy.
Randy Reddy. I like Randy Reddy, though. He was scrappy.
He was scrappy?
Yeah, but he could only play what? Like, where did he play? He wasn't. He would.
We play second and short?
Over? I guess he did play all over. All right, let's go. Pete in L.A. Pete, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
No, you guys are not allowed to talk at all, Tyrone. Natalie, you guys are too funny. Like, I'm trying to hold myself together.
Uh-huh.
Listen to you guys.
Okay.
I mean, this is
are we funny?
First of all, Mike.
I'm supposed to love you.
Yeah. Can I go? Can I go? Can I get with us real quick?
Go ahead.
Tyrone and I, we agree on one thing.
What's that?
You don't tell anybody anything. And that's what's, you know, forget about it.
Meaning what?
Meaning, like, Tyrone's like, well, you tell your girl this, that, boom, bap, bip, bap, bip, bap, bip.
You're not sharing any intimate details with your spouse?
Never. Heck no.
What, do you got a lot of tails? Huh?
A lot of
stuff that'll put you in trouble with the spouse?
No, I'll tell her right on. You know what? Right now, my buddy, he's a baseball coach at Camden County Catholic. Bob Burkholz, really good dude. He watches you guys all the time. We give a shout out to them. Real quickly, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for everything. What do you got going on right now?
Well, you know, we just we turn the microphone on and whatever hits us, you know? Because that's basically what everybody does in life, right?
That's what we're trying to do.
We're doing life conversations on the air.
Quick question.
Yes.
Natalie Eganoff and Tyrone, have you, like, watched the, Great Sports Debate with Mike? Because he's the funniest guy in the world, dude.
When I was a kid.
Back in the day?
I watched it, and the episodes I remember were always with Phil Anastasia.
We used to have him. Yeah, Phil was on.
For some reason, those episodes jumped out at me. I don't know why. It'd be you, obviously.
Yeah, Great Sports Debate back in the day was a landmark television show.
It was just the way you guys like fed off each other, just the dorky and also
We had all kinds of personalities on that show.
All right, I'll let you guys go. I'll call you back tomorrow. I love you guys. Bye.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
That was a great call.
Great call. Yeah.
He's just hanging.
Yeah, because
he's just hanging with us.
I didn't control the remote, obviously, but my dad would end up. We'd end up putting that on.
Oh, my dad watched it too.
And we would watch it. And I just remember some of the episodes, like you'd hold up a paper, point at something. And then I remember obviously Jason Stark being on there.
Jason was on.
Just episodes with, you know, guys at some other places. And I remember
Jason got in trouble to being on that show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was Jim Fregosi.
Fregosi
didn't talk to him for a long time.
Which is, and if you know Jason at all,
yeah, he's the,
like, come on,
the least confrontational guy
like,
ever.
Like, why would you do that?
All right, 610-632-0975. We got a chance to win $500 coming up. That's right. Our cash giveaway is happening at 4 o'clock. Tim McManus will join us at 4:10. So keep it locked right there. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.